Look, kids, I don't want to hear your shit. Great one. You ever going to podcast again? No, the great one's been working, okay? And by working, I don't mean playing Star Wars. I wish. I would love to have been playing Star Wars. We've been busy as fuck at work. It's been good. It's been mostly good. It's been some fun times. Did a concert, just wrapped it up last night. And it was a genre of music that, first of all, I didn't necessarily know existed. And secondly, that I would probably have never seeked out. And I gotta say, I was like, damn, this was really good. Normally, I don't give a fuck about you. By the way, great one, are you drunk? Fuck you. You can scream, shout, whine, cry, snivel, piss, moan, look for a motherfucking safe space. It ain't gonna be here today, let me tell you, little bitch ass what. Not a safe space. You can shove your opinions up your ass. That way Brandon's cock has something to keep it company. Don't forget the ever-present, the most likely, the third possibility. Your girlfriend is not a unicorn. She's not. I know. You're like, oh, no, my great one, my girlfriend. No, no, no. Women are all the same. They are literally Hitler, completely fucking interchangeable other than what they look like. I'm talking about white women from North America. Other women somewhere else, I don't know anything about that. My only experience with the Whammons is white women from North America. And I can tell you for a fact, verifiable, certifiable, empirical, I can tell you they're all interchangeable other than what they look like. You're welcome. Did that hurt your feels? You must be new here. The great one doesn't care. If you want to tell me how I hurt your feels, don't forget, motherfuckers, you can send that email to God, that's fur baby spelled backwards, God at CYNLIBSOC.com on the fucking interwebs. Speaking of sending the great one shit, somebody sent the great one some cuck bucks and some material for a podcast. And I haven't gone into it in depth yet, but he sent links. He got articles. He's got a podcast. I'm looking at all this. Oh, man, this could be a doozy. This could be a doozy. So I got to take time and do a deep dive on this one because it looks like this is not something I just want to casually go into without any preparation. This looks like it may be a multi-part series of awesomeness. So anyhow, speaking of awesomeness, let's talk about the great one himself, the founder of the Cynical Libertarian Society, on the internet since 1999, podcasting for 17 years. The math is different for those of you who think, oh, the great one, you can't do math, because when I first started, I wasn't a podcasting, I was just blogging, because Michael W. Dean and I, we invented blogging before anybody else was blogging. We created that. You're welcome. Yes, we are responsible in a way for mommy bloggers. I take the blame for that. Okay, yes, women, not only should women not be allowed to talk, they shouldn't be allowed to write either. If the greatest one, well, women say, you know, men rule the world. No, 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 sweetheart, let me explain something to you and your bitch ass, okay? I am a man, all right? Trust me. Now, I have done some unmanly things in my life. I have failed. I am not perfect. Well, all right, that was a lie. I am perfect, but I am a man. If I ran the world, trust me, it would not look like this. Number one, you would not be running around saying that men rule the world because number one, you would not have vocal cords. Those would have been surgically removed at birth and you wouldn't even be able to write it down or type it because you would not be able to write or read because you would not be taught that because you would be making babies and cooking pies. Okay, so shut the fuck up about how men rule the world. Okay, the United States or whatever, it is not run by men, it is run by beta males. You, as a white woman from North America, are responsible for beta males. You're welcome. You say, great one, are you drunk? No, I'm not drunk, but I did have one beer on an empty stomach, and so I'm in a really fucking foul mood. Because let me tell you, motherfuckers, what makes me a rage. There's a lot of things. God damn it. I actually have notes. We're going to see how this fucking podcast, because I did a podcast a couple of days ago. and you didn't hear it, and you're not going to hear it, because one of the things I bitched about in the podcast, I was talking about it, and I was like, man, you know, I did that previous podcast where I talked about that bitch's book about the pandemic and yada, 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 and I thought, oh, I'll do this, and I got these six other things that I'm going to do. I'll get all this in one podcast, and it didn't work out that way. And then I was saying, the other thing I hate is the other side of that, where I start a podcast, and I think I've got enough material to fill up 54 minutes, 20 seconds worth of airtime. And I get about halfway through, and I realize I'm going to run out of material. I hate that. And so I was talking about that, and then about halfway through that podcast, I realized I was about to run out of material. I'm like, God damn it, this sucks balls. So anyhow, the energy was shitty. Here we are today. Energy's a little bit better, because I had a little break from the podcast that was nice, been working our ass off. So we did the concert. Not the kind of music I would seek out, but it was actually really good. Normally, as you get closer to the end of the concert, I'm like, okay, I'm ready for this to end. Again, this is the difference between attending a concert and working at a concert. I know, see, because those of you who attend concerts, you know, you're those motherfuckers at the end. They all start chanting, one more song, one more song. One more song, and I'm over there going, I'm chanting also. I'm chanting right along with them. I am not making this up. I actually do this. I chant right along with them. I chant, pull the plug, because all you gotta do is turn off the power and the band ain't going back on stage. Pull the fucking plug. I need to take this shit down. I would like to go fucking home and go to bed, because I've been working all day so that you drunk motherfuckers can come in here and enjoy this concert with this shitty ass music. I'm fucking hot. I'm tired. I just want to go to bed. No, there's not going to be one more song. Shut the fuck up. Anyhow, this band last night, it was way better than I expected. I was like, you know what? If these guys played two or three more songs, I'd actually be okay with that. It's not often that happens. So we're setting up everything, and one of the guys, we'll call him Bob. Bob brought his son, Bill. Bill is like, how old is Bill? As you all know, I'm terrible at judging ages. I'm terrible at judging a lot of things. See, he's like, I guess maybe 14, 15. So he's like, you know, teenager-ish. And so I'm over here doing my thing with the lights and everything. And the rest of the crew is over there doing some other stuff. And I hear somebody say to Bill, they say, hey, Bill, you got to do that like you're a man, not like you're your dad. And everyone went quiet. Maybe you had to be there. It was hilarious. So anyway, you know, we spent the day out in the hot ass sun, working our asses off, setting up for this concert, ripping on each other, giving people shit. Like, we forgot some shit that we needed. We had to pull some stuff out of our ass, and things kept changing because the band is like, hey, so we got this. Could we have this? Oh, you know, now we have this. Could we also have this thing over here? It's like, you know, then what if we had this? Like, God damn it. And so it was a day of escalation. But it was also a day of eating really good food. So if you're ever in Deadwood, where is it? What's the South Dakota. And just stop and think for a moment about what state I live in. The great one, you're in the state of drunkenness. Oh, good one, motherfuckers. Let me do the comedy here. You guys back off. And by comedy, I mean flailing attempts at being funny. If you're ever in Deadwood, or actually, I guess Fort Collins. I'm not in Fort Collins. I still, when I'm writing my material, fuck, can't talk, stand by. I'm still, when I'm writing my return address, like on an envelope, I do my address, and then I start to write Fort Collins. Wait, I'm not in Fort Collins anymore. I haven't been in Fort Collins for over a fucking year. I don't know why I think I'm still in Fort Collins. Even though I still have a job in Fort Collins, technically. Finally got my email at Umbrella Corporation working. You know, it only took like 6 months for them to figure that fucking shit out. And I might be, well, actually I will. Unless something goes wrong in September, I'll be back in the People's Republic of Fort Collins for about a week. I'm going to go back down and do some dog sitting and house sitting for Rachel and her husband again. They're going somewhere. I'm going to go down and take care of the puppy dog and play the fuck out of some Star Wars, which I might do later after I record this and get it uploaded so that you guys can hear me ranting about shit that you don't give a fuck about. I might just go play some fucking Star Wars. I've not played computer games very much this week. All right. Talk to that. How'd I get there from here? Oh! Deadwood. Restaurants. Food. Because so my latest restaurant favorite, and I'm told that there's one in Rapid City as well. I just haven't been there yet. We just go to the one that's up in Deadwood whenever we're up in Deadwood. So I'm thinking about food. So anytime you mention like food to me, I think about two places. There's this pizza place in Gillette, Colorado. Why? What is wrong with my brain? Gillette, Wyoming. We do gigs in Gillette, Wyoming every now and then. And there's this pizza place there called Corella's, which is really good. So whenever we're in Gillette, we'd be in Gillette for 3 days doing a gig. We will eat every meal at Corella's. And then Deadwood is kind of the same way. Now, like we're up there, there's this place called Michelle's Tacos. It's a Mexican restaurant. Michelle, the girl Michelle, like in their logo, it's Michelle's Tacos. As far as I know, there's no actual Michelle, right? It's like Wendy's. I don't think there's an actual Wendy. Maybe it doesn't matter. But the point is, Michelle in the logo is this little white girl, but she makes up Mexican food. So anyhow, but man, it is good. Holy fuck. If you go to Deadwood, go find Michelle's Tacos. Whew. It is. We have gone there now every time we're in Deadwood for like the last month and a half. And nobody has ever ordered and eaten anything there they didn't like. It was fantastic. I'm told there's a Michelle's here in Rapid City. I just haven't found it yet because I already eat at restaurants enough as it is. Right now, the great one. When I get done here, actually what's going to happen before I play Star Wars is I have two bacon-wrapped steak fillets in the refrigerator that I'm going to cook up. I'm going to scarf those fucking things down. Then I got some chocolate cheesecake. And I got some fucking raspberries, some fucking blackberries. I'm going to get them fucking berries and that cheesecake. I'm going to scarf down. I'm going to get my little sugar fix. I'm going to have 7, maybe 23, maybe 43 more beers. Maybe make a martini. Then the great one's going to play some motherfucking Star Wars. The great one. We don't care. Well, you're listening to it, bitch. So go fuck yourself. Moving on. That's enough ranting about the great one's life. What's on my fucking list? Let's talk about some stuff that's actually on the list here. Roosh. Hold, where is it? Ah, it's right here in front of me. Oh, and then, you know, I was going to read some more stuff from this Mira Grant book. I'm not going to do it now because I'm not in the mood for that. I want to knock out all this other shit because that's like a whole episode. We'll read that and make fun of it. I have finally read Roosh's book, Free Speech Isn't Free. This was about when he decided to do his little tour where he gave his speech and how, you know, for those of you who don't know, just briefly, Roosh decided, this was many years ago, this was before he went back to Christianity or Catholicism, I suppose is more accurate. He decided to give, I think it was six speeches. I think he did like London, New York, there's a couple other places. He did two cities in Canada at the very end of it. And by the time he got around to going to Canada, there were all these SJWs trying to literally Hitler keep him out of the country. They were trying to shut his events down. You know, they're trying to crash the event and disrupt his speech and yada, yada, yada. So it's the whole story of all of that. And it's, you know, I mean, I haven't read all of Roosh's books by any stretch of the imagination, but everything I've read by him is good. He is a good writer. If you have not read this book, I highly recommend it. I don't know if it's still available because I don't know if this is one of the books. I know he got rid of his Bang series when he rediscovered Catholicism. I don't know if this one's still available or not, but if you can find it, I really recommend it. He tells the story of everything that happened. Then he talks about some stuff, aftermath. And then he has a little section on neo-masculinity, which I wonder if there are parts of that that he now also disavows, because now that he's gone back to Catholicism and yada, yada, yada. And I may or may not in a future episode possibly read some of this and discuss it. But again, not today. I will, once again, should you read this book? There's the bottom line. Should you read this book? The answer is yes. You should. If you have not read Free Speech Isn't Free by Roosh, you should seek it out and read it. It is worth your time. What else is on my list? Speaking of books, I may or may not have mentioned on this podcast, I honestly don't remember. I don't remember a lot of things. I, Your Honor, I have no idea if I had sex with that woman. I did not have sex with that woman. I did not have sex with that woman. Because it all depends on what your definition of is. God, I miss Bill Clinton, you know. We'll give him credit, man. The man was entertaining. Who else would get up there and say some shit like, that all depends on what your definition of is. Let's give Bill Clinton credit where it's due. The man had more fucking balls and creativity than any fucking right winger. Let's talk about right wingers for a minute. Let's do this. That's the empty beer can. Where's the full beer can? There it is. I started my second beer. Apparently I'm going to cough in the microphone just like I did last time. So, the previous episode I attempted to record that you did not hear, will not hear, I had purchased a new tea. I'm going to have to do it. I'm going to have to buy tea from Happy Lucky's Tea House in Fort Collins, because they sell their tea on the internet. You can order it, have it delivered. I can't find spearmint and peppermint tea. That's all I want. I want some spearmint and some peppermint tea. Spearmint tea, okay? And then a totally separate thing is peppermint tea. So I'm on the Amazon and I find this tea and it's kind of recommended from, and yada, yada. And I order it and it's supposed to be mint. And it's got, mint and something and spices, mint and spices. And I'm like, I'm going to take a chance. And I brew it up for the podcast. I'm doing the podcast. I take a drink and oh my God. I'm going to be honest with you guys. This is no bullshit. This is 100% truth. I have never licked a woman's asshole. I haven't. There are some women whose assholes I would lick if I could go back in time, get Erin Gray when she was on Buck Rogers, or Stacey Keebler when she was the Duchess of Dudleyville. Those girls, I would lick their assholes, okay? But I have never licked a woman's asshole. But I'm going to go out on a limb because I can use my imagination. I'm pretty sure that this tea tasted like what it would taste like if I licked a woman's asshole. You say, a great one. Well, if you're going to lick Erin Gray's asshole, wouldn't that taste really good because she's so hot? No, it's her asshole. It's going to taste like shit. I would just do it because she's that fucking hot, okay? But this cup of tea was not that hot. It was fucking terrible. I'm going to have to fucking buy tea from leftist. You know why I have to buy tea from leftist? Because fucking right-wingers can't fucking accomplish anything. That's what we're going to talk about. That's where this tangenting is going to lead. You're welcome. IHateHarrys.com. I've talked about this before, right? So they hate Harry's because Harry's is leftist and pulled the... Great. So that's great. So I go there. I want to buy your fucking razors. I want to buy fucking razor blades. This is my Tommy Loren impersonation. Do you have a list? I am a spoiled white girl with flabby arms. I just want to buy some fucking razors. I want to buy some fucking razor blades from somebody who's not a leftist. So I go to the fucking website. This is months ago, right? And it's like, yes, we will be shipping on this date in July. Okay, so I go to the website, and the website still says, we will be shipping on this date in July. But that date is already passed. Okay, so are you shipping or not? Like, the date has passed. If you're shipping on schedule, could you update your website to say, yes, we are now shipping these things. They are available. Going like guys, right-wingers, can you update your fucking website with current information? I just want to know, if I order the razors, will I fucking get something? Because your shit is telling me that I can pre-order and it will be shipped on this date in July, but that date is in the past. So are you doing anything? Has it completely fallen through? What the fuck is going on? Right? You can't even update your fucking website, and you don't understand why fucking trannies are touching your children in libraries and telling them that there's no such thing as boys and girls. You're such fucking losers. You're complete fucking losers. So I'm listening to the Dick Show, and Dick is talking about how conservatives suck at creating, which is true. TJ Martinell did an episode about this too. He talked about how conservatives love to get on the fucking internets and the whatevers, right? And they complain, oh, they critique leftist movies, and they critique leftist TV series, and they critique leftist artwork and all this other shit, but they don't create anything. And they don't. And he's right. Dick is right. TJ is right. I'm right. You fucking cuckservers out there are losers. Okay? You're losers. You have lost. You are not losing the culture war. You have lost. It is over. There are faggot flags outside your church, and your children are in public school being told that there's no such thing as boys and girls. It's a social construct. You have fucking lost, and I hate you. I fucking hate you for it. All this shit talking, yeah, you know, we're conservatives. Yeah, when the government goes too far, we're gonna get our guns. Man, fuck you. Fuck you. You know what you're gonna get? You're gonna get down on your knees, and you're gonna suck whatever fucking rainbow-flavored dick is put in front of you. Because you're a fucking pussy. 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 So anyhow, Dick is talking about how cuckservatives have never created any decent art, which I agree with. There's virtually no good, and we can just say non-leftist art. Now, I mean, okay, seriously, so who is there? Say, well, what about Aaron Cleary and Adam Pinkett? No, that's not art. I'm serious. So Aaron Clary's books and stuff, those are works of nonfiction. I'm talking about fiction. I'm talking about art. I'm talking about stuff created purely from the imagination, right? Music, painting, sculpture, fiction work, okay? Adam Pinkett's books are not fiction. They're nonfiction. They're autobiographical. That doesn't count, okay? I was getting fiction and nonfiction mixed up in my brain. That's why I'm pausing, because I have to make sure when I say the word, I'm saying the right word. The only fiction work Aaron Cleary has created is Boris the Shitting Buffalo, which I think is a highly underrated book. He doesn't pimp it very often. I think it's probably just because he's a flaming homosexual. I mean, you can tell that from watching his videos. He's absolute flaming homosexual. And so they don't count because their books are nonfiction. Okay, so fiction, art, music, painting. Who do we got? Okay, we got Frank Cervi. Frank Cervi has written some fiction books. Uncle Nick, the Uncle Nick series are the ones I've read. He's written some other stuff. I don't know because I haven't read it yet. He's written it to Uncle Nick. We got T.J. Martinell. T.J.'s written nonfiction books. We got, who is the author? Clary talks about him every now and then. He's got like noncommunistsciencefiction.com or something. Okay, so we got him. There's a couple of musicians out there, not mainstream. Okay, Rush, not Rush Limbaugh, Rush the band. I mean, they got a little bit of a libertarian-ish bent to them, right? You know, Tom Sawyer and all that. So they got a little non-leftist aspect to their music and their lyrics. But for the most part, you said, who, where are there any, in the mainstream world, any non-leftist? You can be Catholic, Jehovah's Witness, you know, libertarian, anarchist, Republican. It's anything that's non-leftist. Where's the non-leftist shit? There's hardly any of it out there. So anyhow, Dick's talking about this in one episode. Then a couple of episodes later, Dick's reading this letter where somebody wrote in. And they're like, Dick, there's a lot of conservative musicians out there. Here's an example you may have heard of. And I'm waiting for, we're going to hear about this conservative musician. And the example is John, you may have heard of this guy, or you may not have, I don't know. John Sebastian Bach. Now, don't get me wrong. I like John Sebastian Bach. I think his operas are a little too light and fluffy for me. Comes to opera, I'm more of a Wagner kind of guy. More of a Tchaikovsky kind of guy. Bach's operas, but like I have Bach's, all of Bach's, what do you call them? Harpsichord concertos. Great stuff. I don't think John Sebastian Bach qualifies as a conservative. John Sebastian Bach did not vote for Ronald Reagan. Now, yes, Ronald Reagan was alive when John Sebastian Bach was alive, but he was not yet involved in politics. Ronald Reagan, I mean. John Sebastian Bach, number one, does not meet the fluid and tenuous definition of what we, in the current year, are calling a conservative. Number two, the fact that conservatives, trying to tell us that, look, conservatives can make good music, have to reach so far back in time as to evoke John Sebastian Bach, tells us that conservatives are perfectly fucking aware that they are contributing absolutely nothing to culture. I mean, other than sending their children to public school where their children can be touched by trannies and told that there's no such thing as boys and girls. So thank you, conservatives. Thank you for losing the culture war. Thank you for just standing there and doing nothing as faggots fly their flags around the country and take control, and as women just run wild and do any goddamn thing they want to do with absolutely no accountability or responsibility whatsoever, and therefore destroy our entire fucking society and shift its focus from, I don't know, space exploration to providing daycare for black people. Fuck you. Speaking of other people that I hate, which is essentially everyone, there are the millennials. So I've been reading, I mentioned this before, I'm reading The Dumbest Generation Grows Up, which is the sequel, such as it were, to The Dumbest Generation. The book is well written. It's interesting. I think I'm about two-thirds of the way through. I mean, my biggest disappointment is that the author does a fair amount of like analysis and anecdotal stuff and storytelling. What I was hoping, which is not a process, would be in the book was more data. And by data, I mean, you know, anything that you can at least point to and say, okay, this is semi-objective, like opinion polls, right? We all know how the great one feels about opinion polls. I love them when they agree with what I want to agree with. But, you know, opinion polls are that. They're opinions and a sample size. But at least it's something you can look at and you can say, okay, yes, this is an opinion poll of 1,000 people. And 1,000 people is hardly representative of jack shit. But nonetheless, we can still look at this and say this 1,000 people did this, right? You know, 45% of women can't find their vaginas. I think it's more realistic to say that if we could somehow do that same, it's not an opinion poll, do that same test with the entire female population where we say to them, here is a diagram of the female reproductive system, label the parts. I think we would find out that it's a lot closer to 80% of women don't know where the vagina is. More women would have participated in this study, but they were supposed to be going to the place where the study was being conducted. And number one, most of them couldn't find it. And then number two, the ones who could find it, well over 50% of them were actually late, and the study had already not just started but finished. And that's why they make less money than a man, because the wage gap monster keeps jumping out and knocking them down and preventing them from getting to work on time. So what I wanted from this book, and the book apparently didn't give a shit what I wanted was more data. Little bit less opinion, little bit less anecdote. Although I think a book of this nature should be a good mix of, you know, opinion slash analysis, anecdotal evidence, and then some kind of stuff that passes for data. Because once again, we're at the point, my audience, you guys all know, all my science is just horseshit. Al, over at Al Jaham's Final Word, he's been doing a series, I think he just knocked out part three, of finding, you know, shit where science is now backtracking or whatever. The one he did the one where he found the headline that global warming is now intensifying because since the air is cleaner because there's less pollutants, there's less stuff in the air to reflect the sunlight back, so now it's getting warmer. Which, yes, anyone who understands, yeah, and this is why democracy doesn't work, okay? Democracy doesn't work. You can't let stupid people fucking foist their opinions upon other people. Anyone who's not a moron, which is a very tiny percentage of us in the population, understands that, yes, the less particulate of any type that is in the atmosphere, it could be rain clouds, it could be pollution, whatever, less particulate in the atmosphere means more sunlight will come through. More sunlight coming through means that the Earth will be hotter. Anybody with more than 7 brain cells could figure this out. Like, oh, God. Anyhow, people are stupid. So anyhow, we'll get to stupidity in a minute. That's what I'm going to rant about next as soon as I finish ranting. I'm not even sure what I'm ranting about anymore. At this point, this is just me having fun. You can hang on and keep going, or you could get off right now. By get off, I mean you could stop listening to the podcast, or by get off, I mean you could touch yourself, you could stroke yourself, you could think about whatever you like to think about while you're touching yourself, and you could bust a nut, okay? It's open for interpretation. I don't care. I don't want to know about it. I don't want to know which option you took. Send me fucking email to God. That's for a baby spelled backwards. God at CYNLIBSOC.com. Say, great one. I decided to get off by touching myself and thinking about Erin Gray. Well, that's great, but you know, Erin Gray is my girlfriend. You need to stay the fuck off of her ass. All right. Dumbest Generation. Grows up. The book. Needs more data. That's all I'm saying. Is it a good book? Yes. Is it interesting? Yes. Should you read it? Yes. There we go. Let's talk about things you shouldn't do. Here's what you should not do. You should absolutely, under no circumstances, then I'll complain. Then I'll talk about my thing. I'm going to complain about my thing. Not that thing, the other thing. You should not, under any circumstance, well, all right, here's the thing. If you like the James Bond movies, you should watch these movies once so you can say you've seen them. So I somewhat, by recently, I mean now it's been about 2 weeks ago, I watched the James Bond Spectre movie. I can't really do an analysis of it or talk about it in depth because I don't really remember any of it because it was completely unmemorable, if that's a word. You know, like there's Bond movies that I can remember in my mind. Like I can call up right now in my brain segments of it and things that happened. I'm like, yeah. And this one, it was so boring. It was just fucking boring. And Daniel Craig, I think Daniel Craig seems to me to be just a perfectly fine actor. There's nothing quote-unquote wrong, in my opinion, with his interpretations of the character or his acting skills. But he's kind of written, so here's the thing. In a way, this kind of makes sense. A real-life James Bond character would be something of an emotional disaster, an emotional cripple. Right? Somebody who has been trained to kill other people and runs around killing other people. Yeah, you know, I can see how this person would be emotionally, mentally fucked up. The other side of that is that the James Bond movies are not documentaries, they're fiction. You know, fiction, that thing that conservatives are not good at it. Fiction. You know, much like making coffee. I have to buy my coffee from leftist. I have to buy my tea from leftist. Everything, because conservatives are so busy telling me about how busy they are running the economy and doing real jobs that none of them have time to actually do the real job of creating anything that I would want to fucking buy. There are no conservatives out. What do conservatives create that any of us actually want to purchase? I would love to give my money to non-leftist. There's not a non-leftist out there, with a couple of exceptions I've mentioned. Aaron Cleary, Adam Piggott, Frank Servi, TJ Martinell. I've given them my money for their books. Other than that, what's his name? Come on, brain. Fuck, give me a second. I'm looking on the bookshelf behind me. I'm trying to spot one of his fucking books so I can remember his name, so I can tell you his fucking name. Jim Goad. Right, that there's a couple of non-leftists out there that are actually creating shit that I will give them money for. But for the most part, you fucking conservatives, all you're doing is propping up the system so that leftists can have electricity and then sending your children to public school so that they can be told there's no such thing as boys and girls.
Wow, when the government goes too far, I'm gonna get my gun.
No, you know what you're gonna do? You're gonna suck a dick. That's what you're gonna do. So in the previous incarnations of James Bond, yes, it was a bit of a fantasy, but it's a fantasy. Okay, you're enjoying it. In Daniel Craig's tenure as James Bond, now one thing I will give the creators of the series is this, that with Daniel Craig's movies, they did take them and they gave them a continuity. Right, the movies all do flow together. It's like this continuous narrative, which I like that. I think that's a good thing. It can be both a good thing and a bad thing. The other Bond films all sort of existed in isolation, which gave you a freedom to do whatever you needed to do to serve the plot, right? So that's one of those things. It can go both ways. In the Daniel Craig movies, he's got this like emotional crippleism where he's constantly trying to get one-itis for some fucking broad. Like, first it was the, what was her name? Vespa, whatever, whom I remember as being vaguely hot. The first Daniel Craig movie, Casino Royale, I thought that one was pretty good. Now, I haven't watched it in a while. Maybe I change my mind if I watch it again. But I remember that one as being pretty good. And that's the last James Bond film that I actually bootlegged the DVD. I have that one and all the Bond movies before that, I have them on DVD. So that, you know, when they start getting censored on Netflix and everything, I will still be able to watch the actual real James Bond, not the one where everything has been digitally and CGI altered so that he's running around telling women that they're strong and independent instead of telling them they have nice asses and fucking them. Everything Daniel Craig did after the first one has just been going to shit. And the one where he was like, had to go back to his house, whatever, hide. God, that one was complete shit. That was utter shit. Spectre was just, there's just nothing that I remember from the movie. It never took off. It never got interesting. And now he's got some new chick that he's got one-itis for. It's some fucking French chick who is like, okay, she's like moderately attractive, but whatever. So then now, so I finished that one. I don't remember any of it other than the moderately attractive French chick. And when I say moderately attractive, I mean moderately. So now I'm watching No Time to Die. 2 hours, 43 minutes. Like, you know what? There's some movies that I'm okay with them being 2 hours, 43 minutes. This, I'm not finished with it yet. I don't know how far in I am because I'm not paying attention. It feels like I've been watching this movie for about 17 years. We got the black female James Bond. The black female 007, rather, is more accurate. You know, and of course, she's doing the normal, oh, Bond, you know, you're a dinosaur. Oh, it's a new world. Oh, look at me. I'm a black woman. I'm strong and independent. Q is a homosexual. The movie is just all the characters other than M, because, you know, now that the woman M died, thank God, we have M that actually has a ball sack and is a white man. Okay, great. Other than James Bond and M, every other character is either woman, black woman, or like in the case of Q, if it's a white man, he's a homosexual. Just the diversities and my rainbow flags and the fucking black woman running around with her fucking attitude. And then the same thing, that it's fairly boring. I'm sitting here, I'm waiting. It's like, okay, I've been watching this for at least an hour. Nothing's really happening yet. Is there a fucking, what's going on? You know, Moneypenny is a black chick. Moneypenny turned into a black chick however many fucking movies ago. I'm over it. We don't live in Africa. I was at the gym this morning looking at the TV, looking at the commercials, being reminded that it's almost as if I live in an African country where there's no white men. I'm watching the commercial, and in the commercial, I see every single fucking demographic except for young white men. We got white men who are boomers and everything, but not a single fucking white man in the commercials, like under the age of 30. It's like we don't exist. And we won't exist for much longer. We won't. And then, in the new Bond movie, which you should not watch unless you just like the James Bond movies, in which case you should watch it so you can say you've seen it. So the moderately attractive French chick is back, and James Bond has one-itis for her. And of course, ladies and gentlemen, of course, I say ladies and gentlemen, there are only a very tiny number of ladies listening to this. And by that, I mean literally Hitler. I mean the only woman listening to this is my literally Hitler fangirl. Who, unlike the rest of you fucking losers out there, you see, the Great One is a non-leftist. And the Great One creates art. You say, Great One, are you talking about that fucking shitty album you recorded where you attempted to sing over some music that you downloaded from the internet? First of all, that's more than all of you have done. Let me repeat myself. That's more than all of you have done. Just to be clear, that's more than all of you, unless your name is Adam Piggott, Frank Cervi, Aaron Clary, that's more than all of you have done. So please feel free to shove your head right up your ass with Brandom's cock and go fuck yourself. But I'm not talking about that. I'm talking about photography. Literally, Hitler Fangirl was the only person when I said, hey, I got some photographs for sale. I don't have to move them. Yeah. And she is the only one who contacted me and said, great one. What do you got? And I said, blah, blah. And she bought some of my photography. She's the only fucking one. All the rest of you fucking losers out there. Oh, no. Oh, no. Not a fucking peep from you. Then, I don't even have time to go into this. My whole ordeal with PayPal that I just had. It's time. You're going to hear a rant about this in the future. We don't have time right now. Where am I on this podcast? I'm at 45 minutes. You'll have to save it. You're going to hear a whole rant about how... And I'll just go ahead and prep you guys right now. You need to start learning how Bitcoin works. Because the great one is going... I think what I'm just going to do is all my prices... If you pay with PayPal, I'm going to double them, maybe triple them. I don't know, but it's time. Guys, PayPal is not, I mean, PayPal. Bitcoin is not that fucking complicated, okay? Adam Piggott figured it out. He's Australian. If he can do it, you should be able to fucking do it too. Actually, that's not true. Adam Piggott is a man. So that fucking right there disqualifies about half of you. Everybody needs to start figuring out Bitcoin because I'm tired of leftist. PayPal, leftist. Got to buy my tea from leftist. I got to exchange money through leftist. I got to do banking with leftist. Got to pay for electricity. They're a leftist. I get the little fucking mailing from the electricity company. We celebrate diversity. Fuck you. Okay, I want diversity. I'll watch a fucking James Bond movie where there's only two white men in it and everybody else is either a darkie or a homosexual. Okay, that's what I'll do when I want my fucking diversity. So anyhow, the No Time to Die movie. It's painful. So then on top of all this, just like in Maverick, Top Gun, Maverick, here he is, man. This is Maverick. Tom Cruise, the greatest fighter pilot currently alive on the planet Earth, total fucking badass, can have any woman he wants within reason. There's a couple of women out of, but for the most part, he could have any woman he wants. What does he do? He gets one-itis for some fucking 50-year-old single mother. So we got James Bond, No Time to Die, and who appears in the fucking movie? But again, this fucking moderately attractive French chick, right? Except that now she's 5 years older or whatever it is, and we're doing this, we're doing that, and Bond, he gets the one-itis, and they go back to her place, and oh! She's a single mother. She's got a fucking... And here, James Bond, 007, most badass motherfucker on the planet Earth, with the exception of possibly of Maverick, one-itis for a fucking 50-year-old single mother. My God, the fucking propaganda for single mothers is just... God damn it, I'm so fucking over it. I'll be interested to see if I could talk. Interested to see how this movie ends. Because in the thing, Bond obviously is not 007 anymore. He's retired. And so this black chick with the mouth, as if there's such a thing as a woman of any color without a mouth, I wonder if Asians have this. I know the Asians have this reputation as their women being all demure and us. I bet Asian women are just like any other woman alive. I bet they can't shut the fuck up. Some of you out there might be thinking, that's not English. Some of you out there might be thinking, when the Great One says that women's vocal cords should be surgically removed at birth, that's not a joke. I mean, women think that men should have the tips of their penises cut off when they're born. That's totally okay. And why do they do that? Because women find it more aesthetically pleasing to cut the tip of the boy's penis off. Okay. Well, speaking as a man, I can tell you that men find women much more aesthetically pleasing when they shut the fuck up. Now, some of you men are going, wait, hold on. And you're thinking about it. You're thinking about this really hard right now. You're thinking, wow, hold on, great one. I don't know if I can back you up on that assertion you just made, great one. Because you see, in order for me, as a man, to know that I find women more aesthetically pleasing when they shut the fuck up, I would have actually experienced a time, I would have had to actually experience a time in my life when a woman has shut the fuck up. And, well, I'm only 47 years old, great one. In my 47 years, I've never experienced a moment where a woman has actually shut the fuck up. So how would I know for an empirical, verifiable, objective fact that women are more attractive when they shut the fuck up? That's a valid point. I completely understand where you're coming from. See, I've had the luxury, I've had the privilege of occasionally, very, very occasionally, experiencing a woman shutting the fuck up. The violin player that I dated, she was capable of shutting the fuck up. It was really nice. She was adorable and cute. She just shut the fuck up. It was so pleasant. And then the married chick that I was dating, Lucy, we talked a lot, but she could just shut the fuck up. We just shut the fuck up and just sit there and look at each other. She wouldn't say a fucking word, not a word, not a goddamn sound. Come out of your fucking mouth. Oh, it was so nice. So trust me on this. Trust me. When they shut the fuck up, they can be attractive. All right. Thanks for listening, motherfuckers. You'll get another podcast when I get around. I'm busy. It's still a fucking killer week. So we'll see how everything goes. Catch you cats on the flip side.